calling. Let's celebrate. Are you excited to be worshiping the Lord this morning?
My King, through eternal ages, let us pray. standing on the promises of God.
Decided.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
Follow Jesus today.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close.
Lift up the name of the Lord this morning.
If you have ever had a briar or a splinter in your hand, raise your hand. Good. Did you seek out the roughest person in your life to help you get that out of your hand? Why not? It already hurts, man. You wanted somebody with a steady hand, maybe good vision. Because you're already hurting, the last thing you want is somebody that's going to make it worse. In our house, you can guess who the kids are going to go to first. They're going to go to their mother first. And then when she can't get it out, they come to me. Get it done. We all appreciate gentleness when we need it. Amen? Amen. The challenge, though, is showing it when somebody else needs it from us. What does Christian gentleness actually look like when dealing with difficult people and difficult circumstances? Here's our undeniable truth today. Because the Lord is near, Christians should make Christ-like gentleness evident to everyone. Paul gives us one short command today in one enormous sphere in which to practice it and one powerful reason to obey it. Let's start off with our first question. What is a gentle spirit? Verse 5 says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." Gentleness is often mistaken for weakness. And I think as guys, this may be one reason that we struggle to extend gentleness to other people. But biblical gentleness requires great strength. Maybe the greatest strength. The word translated gentle is epikes. It carries the idea of being gentle, considerate, and forbearing. But it never means accepting sin as good, abandoning wisdom, or yielding to sinful demands. Never those things. It means we do not make our personal preferences, our wounded pride, or desire to win the standard by which everything must be settled. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Pride and selfishness are the number one, number two reasons that keep me from extending gentleness to you. It's me. I'm the problem. Gentleness is Christ-like forbearance that refuses to insist upon every personal right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of" who? "Christ. I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent." So Paul points directly to Jesus as our example. Logically, if we are Christians, that should mean something. That should mean that we are Christ followers, Christ emulators. And if we are going to follow and emulate Christ, gentleness must be something, if you're not already, like me, it is something that we should be taking some steps towards because Christ was gentle. Jesus possessed absolute authority. Jesus was always right. Yet, he was never needlessly harsh. Yet, his gentleness was not weakness. It was deliberate, gracious restraint. I had a conversation with one of them. I've got plenty of not being gentle examples. I've got one for you right here. One of my girls came to me this week. I was working on something that I don't like. I don't like to be interrupted when I'm doing one thing because I can't think of more than one thing at a time. But anyway, she came down and I told her to do something and she did it the complete opposite way that I told her to do it. Makes sense. Y'all got kids, they do that. Well, was my first response gentleness? I started at a decent tone. And I started showing how I was right. And then I just continued to show more reasons how I was right. And I'm right this way. 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 And if you would have listened to me, you wouldn't be doing it wrong. And here we are. I do it. Wow, that escalated quickly. How well do you think that was received? About this well. Yet we do it. Maybe y'all don't do it. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Nobody else does this. I got an amen from the top. I do this. It's crazy. Why can I not show gentleness? Why? Because I was prideful. You're interrupting my time. I was selfish. I need this time to do something else. And now you're here. Is it really about that she didn't do the right thing, or is it really about me and my pridefulness and selfishness? It's about me. Yet, sometimes we can convince ourselves that because we're right about the issue, we're justified being wrong in the way that we talk to everybody. And I'm trying to be gentle this morning. I'm not sounding gentle right now. I told myself, you need to be gentle in this sermon if anybody's going to listen to you. I'm trying, okay? I'm trying. Give me some grace, a little mercy this morning. I think this is just an area that we could all benefit from. I guess why I'm excited about it. Me first. We often excuse harshness because we believe being right gives us permission to be rough with other people. We think, well, they needed to hear it. Somebody had to tell them. Or, well, what I said was true. All true. That's all correct. But Christians are responsible not only for the truthfulness of our words, but also the spirit and manner in which we deliver them to other people. It's not just about being right. It's about also conveying that you're right in such a way that the person can understand it. If you want me to do the opposite of what you think or what you want me to do, talk down to me, condescend to me, and make me think that I'm stupid, and I promise I'll do the opposite of whatever you're trying to get me to do. Even if you're right. I can know you're right. I'll do it to spite your face. Yet I do that to people all the time and expect them to just fall right in line. Maybe I'm the one that's insane. I've wondered that. Y'all have too. That's okay. When you're right, are people still able to see Christ in the way you treat them? For me, many times that's no. But I don't want to stay that way. Christian gentleness does not only ask, do I have the right to say this? It also asks, how can I handle this person in a way that when I walk away, it still reflects Christ in the encounter? The next time you're frustrated with someone, refuse to use being right as the permission to be harsh. It's going to be tough. I hope you hear these words. You're going to get an opportunity because y'all are smart people. I know you're right all the time. Before you confront someone this week, ask the Lord. Take this thing to the Lord. Make my words true, my tone gentle, and my goal for their good, not my victory. Second question, who should see our gentle spirit? Who should observe this? Let's go back to verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Man, all is tough. I can't believe he used that word. All men. And I don't think he meant just men. I think he meant everybody. The sphere is broad. We show this gentleness to all people, not just the people you like. Not just the people you respect. Gentleness isn't particularly impressive when everybody's easy to deal with. If you tested me around the people that I get along with, that treat me well, that don't cause my selfishness to hurt and my pride hurts, you'd probably be, yeah, Philip guy, man, he's gentle. He don't even get upset at anything. It's easy when nobody's upsetting us. Anybody can do that. But what about the people that know how to get up under your fingernails? How is gentleness then? That's a little different. But guess what? They fall up under the awe. Even those people. Paul does not say, let your gentle spirit be known to your family. Even though I should do that more often. He doesn't say, let it be known to your church. Let it be known for the 1 hour that you're here on Sunday morning. You can hold it together for an hour, can't you? And most of the time we can. He doesn't even say, let it be known to people who treat you well. He says, to all men. This means our gentleness is part of our public Christian witness. Does that make it different to you guys at all? We are to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to be sharing the truth of the Bible with people. But how often do we think about that we should be sharing that truth through being gentle with everybody that we interact with? I don't know that we're thinking about that a lot. I know that I don't think about it near enough. Your family should see it. Your church family should see it. And people who do not know Christ should also see it. Christian gentleness should be recognizable to everyone who encounters us, not merely those people who treat us well, who get our order right, who do not cut us off in traffic, and so on and so forth. Titus 3:2 says, towards the end of the verse, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration. And look what he does for all men. Again, it includes the all. There it is again, not merely people who are easy to love, but to all people. I worked with countless people. I cannot think of one specific example that they would, I mean, I'm talking about a toxic person. But when the manager would walk through, man, it was like butter. I mean, it's like the only thing they could say was good words. They just transformed into a totally different person for just a few moments. And I would sit there and watch them interact with them going, man, you have it in you. Why can't I get some of that? Why can't you talk to the rest of us like you just talked to them? Nobody's ever experienced that. Humans, we are a funny lot of people. Why do they do that? Because they care about the opinion of one person and have decided that everybody else doesn't matter. So they treat them however they want to treat them. Christians can do the same thing. I have done the same thing many times. We can be gentle with the people whose approval matters to us and harsh with people that we think we can get away with mistreating. Well, they don't help me, so I'll treat them however I want to. They don't give me money. They don't impact my job. They don't impact my neighborhood. They don't impact my family, so I will just treat them like complete garbage. That ain't it. The people we encounter may never hear our theology verbally, but they will see what your theology has done to you when you interact with them without showing gentleness. When your meal is wrong, your schedule is interrupted, and nobody important seems to be watching you. Selective gentleness isn't Christian gentleness. If I'm only gentle with people who agree with me, I'm not demonstrating much. If I'm only patient with people who never frustrate me, I'm not demonstrating much. The test comes when somebody becomes difficult. That's when we're tested. Question for all of us, who gets a different version of you because you've decided they don't deserve your gentleness? Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody in this church. Who is it? Today is the day that needs to stop because they're part of the ALL. How we treat people tells the world something about the Christ we claim to follow. A person may forget the details of an argument. They may forget exactly what you said, but they will never forget how they felt during that encounter with you. And those memories are hard to erase and make right. One thing we can do is identify the person with whom you're most tempted to become harsh. Y'all all know them. You've probably been thinking about them for the last 5 minutes. They're in your life. You may see them every day. You may see them once a month. You may see them once a year. Think about that person that you just have the hardest time with and start praying for them right now. And start asking for God to go ahead and start preparing you for that next encounter to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can be gentle with them and follow Christ's example for us. Y'all are quiet. Let's go to our third question. Why can we afford to be gentle? Back to verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. We often become harsh when we believe everything depends on us making things right. We shoulder that responsibility up. Philip's got to make it right. Nobody else can do it. I'm going to do it. And here I come. Somebody's got to set this straight. Somebody's got to make them understand. Somebody's got to settle this. It's on me. And Paul reminds us, the Lord is near. There's two closely related ways Christians throughout history have understood this last little phrase, the Lord is near. The first way that it is understood is that he's reminding them that the Lord's return is near. They believe this because we go back to Philippians 3, 20 and 21, where they remind believers that they're eagerly waiting for the Lord's return. So they think the Lord is near as though the Lord is coming back soon. There's a second way. The second way is Paul emphasizing that the Lord himself is near to each and every one of us. That's extremely comforting and terribly frightening all at the same time. Either way, the Christian is not facing difficult people or difficult circumstances alone, and you're also not facing those circumstances without any hope. Jesus sees what we cannot repair. I am limited, he is not. Jesus knows every wrong that has been done. And Jesus will judge righteously what we cannot resolve ourselves. That's exactly what we preached on Wednesday night. In the end, he will be the righteous judge. He will separate the wheat from the chaff. Or the wheat from the tares, sorry. I think that applies as well, though. Because the Lord is near, we can surrender the need to vindicate ourselves, avenge ourselves, and win every battle ourselves. We can turn it over to the one who is the victor. James 5, 8, and 9 says, you too be patient, which is probably really helpful with being gentle, is also being patient, and also another thing that I absolutely struggle with. Maybe these things are tied together. I don't know. You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Woo! Well, if we remember Jesus was right outside the door, what would that change throughout the day? Probably a lot of conversations. Notice the connection. The Lord is coming. The judge is near. Therefore, change the way you treat one another. I know many of y'all have had a situation where you didn't know it, but the authority had entered the room. When I was in fourth grade, we got in a bad habit. Right after lunch, they let us go to the bathroom. Back then, you just had to hold it. I mean, the teacher was kind of like, you ain't going to the bathroom. Well, right after lunch, she let us go to the bathroom. So we went in there, and one day I don't know who's the culprit for this, but somebody dipped a piece of toilet paper down in the toilet and threw it at the other person. Well, man, you talking about for a fourth grade little boy, that was pretty exciting. Right after lunch. So we developed a whole game of it. And this is super gross. I would never do this today. One of us would be, there's two sitting stalls. And then the sink is over here. And there's a cinder block wall separate that goes out in the hallway. Well, we had a point man who was supposed to be our watch out. And he would stand there by the door. And he'd give a little if anybody was coming. Well, he was standing there. I was in one stall. My other buddy was in the other stall. And we had flushed the toilets. And then we start dipping them down and start playing like Battleship toilet paper with the thing, trying to throw it over the partition and land on the other person. Well, we got kind of carried away. We were having a ball. This was the best thing of the school day. It got real quiet. I thought, something's changed. Our watchout man, Hank, whistled, but he ain't saying nothing else either. But he had quit throwing toilet paper. So I just leaned down and looked at him, and there was a size 13 leather shoe standing over there by a size 4 tennis shoe by the sink. I'm immediately thinking, how am I going to get out of this? rattle off a little more toilet paper, flush the toilet, and come out. None of that worked. All he did was lead 3 fourth grade little boys to his principal's office, and we all toted 3 licks from the Board of Education that day. But he corrected us. To my knowledge, I think I'm saying 100% truth, I never once ever thought about dipping a piece of toilet paper in a toilet and throwing it at anybody. He made me a believer that day. But what changed my attitude? Disobedient, acting however I wanted to. What changed my attitude? The authority changed my attitude. Paul says, Christian, live with the awareness that the Lord is near. Our authority is always near, whether we're willing to look at it or not. But the Lord's nearness is more than just a presence of an authority figure who makes us behave. It is the presence of a Savior who is with His people, sees their burdens, and will judge perfectly. Pride says, I've got to win. Selfishness says, I've got to have it my way. Faith says, the Lord is near. I don't have to fight every battle. I don't have to answer every insult. I don't have to make sure everybody admits I was right. When someone wrongs you, do what is right and entrust what you cannot make right to the Lord Himself, because He is near. This week, when someone wrongs you, it might happen in the next 30 minutes. You may have an opportunity to apply this sermon before we even get out of here. This room's filled with Christians. You know how we are. We may give you an opportunity to be gentle even before you leave today. But when somebody wrongs you, do what is right and entrust what you cannot make right to the Lord this time. Give it to Him. Don't vindicate yourself. When you're wronged, pray before you reply. That helps. I don't do that every time, but I can assure you, I will testify this morning, that will help you if you're willing to stop and do it. Do what righteousness requires. Seek help from the Lord. Speak truth. Establish a boundary if needed, and entrust the outcome to Christ. Let's go back to the beginning. I'm not going to start preaching again. Don't lose your cool. Gentle. Think about that splinter. When something is already hurting, you want someone with a gentle hand that's maybe a little bit patient with you. The people you encounter every day are carrying hurts that you often cannot see and may never know about. Some of them are hurting because of their home life. Some of them are carrying disappointment. And God has placed His people in this world with this command, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Jesus does not merely command us to be gentle. He showed us gentleness. That's why I'm doubling down on this. That's why I want to apply this to my... Well, one of the reasons, not only because it's in the Bible, but when I thought back on it, I thought about Jesus and the adulteress. A mob brings this lady who's guilty to him every right to put her to death. And what did he do? Did he start just beating up on her, making her feel worse? He was gentle with her. On the way to the cross, as we talked about in Sunday school class, carrying his cross on a back that was tore wide open, people slandering him verbally, people spitting on him, people nailing his hands to a cross, nailing his feet to a cross. How did he respond? Did he vindicate himself? Did he say, I was right, I'm right, and you're wrong? The gentleness, I can't even wrap my brain around that. But that's our standard. That's our example. And if we're saying we're following him, we need to be, I'm not saying that we'll ever get there on this side of heaven completely, but we need to be taking some steps towards showing that type of gentleness to all men and everybody around us. Me first. Me first. Jesus showed us gentleness. He was never weak. He was never afraid of the truth. And he never, ever compromised righteousness in showing it. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. As the worship team's making their way back up here, I got one question for the believers in here today. Seriously, think about this. Would the people who know you best, I'm not talking about people you encounter sometime, I'm talking about the people who know you best, if you ask them, am I a gentle person, how would they respond? I know how mine would respond. And I'm not asking you to say, well, what do you think they'd say? No, I'm saying, what would they say? Not what you think about yourself. And when I think about that, that makes me realize I've got a lot of room and a lot of praying to do for the Lord to help get me to a place where I can be consistently more gentle with all the people that I encounter. Ask God to expose the pride and selfishness that keeps demanding, that keeps driving you to demand your own way. I can almost guarantee you that if you go back and you drill it down, it's pride and selfishness at the very root of the times that you fail to be gentle. For the non-believers that have come this way today, they've never professed Christ, they've never surrendered to Him, Christ is gentle. He is. 100%, but he's also a righteous judge. And he's shown you grace and mercy this far, but one day you'll be held accountable to whether you have placed your faith in him or not. And today, I would encourage you to experience the gentleness of Christ, to give your life to him in faith, place your faith in him, ask him for forgiveness of sins, so that you can have eternal life and not experience that in judgment that is absolutely righteous and just, because that's part of his character and that's what he has to do. And he promised it. But he loved us so much that he gave us his only son so we didn't have to experience it. So today's the day of salvation for somebody who's never done that before. When you know the Lord is near, you do not have to fight to get the last word. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near.